We started a new series called The Great Adventure. Everybody say The Great Adventure. And I want to talk to you about the adventure that we have in Christ Jesus. And I want to look at several different stories that are supernatural and adventuresome, starting with Matthew chapter 14, which we'll look at tonight. Matthew chapter 14. And the 13th verse, Matthew chapter 14. And the 13th verse. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by the boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. The multitudes followed him. He had just heard about the death of John the Baptist. And so he's trying to get away, but they're going to follow him. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." Everybody say themselves food. But Jesus said to them, Jesus is responding to his apostles, and the apostles, who do the apostles want to buy food for? The apostles want the multitudes to buy their own food. But Jesus responds to that, and he says this, "But Jesus said to them," in response to the multitudes, says, hey, man, let them worry about their own food. Jesus responds, and he says, Jesus says to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. How many know that was an adventure in faith? How many knows? And please understand this, because sometimes we can read stories like this and they're so supernatural and so, they're almost like, no, let me tell you what. There was a day 2,000 years ago, and Jesus was a real person, and he was really trying to get away to be by himself, but he saw the multitude is following him, they hang out with him all day, and then they got hungry. Oh, come on. And then he fed them. This is a real story. It really happened many times in our life. And not only do I want to welcome everyone that's here tonight, but I want to welcome everybody that's viewing us by a Periscope. And we thank God for you. And we thank God that maybe you're home. Maybe you can't, for some reason, you can't get to church. Yeah. Or maybe you're out of town. But we want to welcome you. We want to say welcome. And we're glad that you're taking the time, just like the people here, sectioning it off, figuring out, you know what, how to get on and watching us. We're so glad you're here. I believe you're going to hear something from God's going to speak to you today. And it's something that I say is going to spark something, and you're going to think, oh, my goodness, that is why I'm listening.
Come on, amen.
Amen. So they are, this really happened. There was all these people. You know what? How many know how it feels when you get hungry? Amen?
There it is.
You ever been busy? You're doing something, and you know what? And you just don't have time for breakfast. You know what I mean? And then you're busy working on something. It's boom, 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 boom. And you look about 2 o'clock, and it's 2:30, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Woo, man, I'm starving." How many know you're not? How many know you're not starving? How many know you're hungry? Okay. But how many know you're not starving? Okay. But you're hungry. But you say, "Oh man, I could eat a horse, man." You just get all, you know what? But here's what I want to do in this series. I want us to catch, you know what? And specifically tonight, I want you to catch some characteristics of God that we can see in this story. That if we'll see and understand, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we look back and say, you know what? What are some characteristics of God that we can glean from this story that we would be understand? Man, that's the God that we serve.
Amen.
That's the God that is on our side. So I want to go over these characteristics. Number one, write this down if you're taking notes. Amen. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Pastor, what do you always say? But here's why. Here's why. Because it. Listen, when I used to, when I was children's pastor, and Pastor Bradford called me in his office, when I would come with my notepad and a pen, which was every time I was speaking to him. And here's what I was saying. Pastor Bradford, I don't know what you're going to say, but what you're going to say is important to me. And so I'm going to write it down. Amen. How many know if Pastor Bradford had something important to say? How many know God has something way more important to say? You know what? And can I just preach to somebody? I said, can I preach to somebody? I say, can I preach to somebody? Come on, if you're going to be here, you might as well be here. Amen. I say, can I preach to somebody? And I'm just saying, you know what? I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me and telling me, you know what? We, like Tamara sometimes says, she says, you know what? We got to get our chonklas off. Yeah. You know what chonklas are? Chunkles are those funky looking, you know what, shoes. You know what? How many know, you know what, the chunkles, you just, when you're wearing the chunkles, you're saying, hey, I'm just going to chill out and watch a, you know what, and watch a Barney 5 and eat some popcorn. Right? Oh, you don't watch Barney 5? I watch Barney 5. Amen? But you're just saying, you know what, you just, but how many know, in the body of Christ, I hear the Holy Spirit say, get your chonklas off.
Yeah, come on,
I'm speaking to somebody. Get your chonklas off. And so there's got to be a just enthusiasm and excitement. Can I tell you what? We need to get this down in our spirit. That's why I'm having you. I texted you already this week. How many got my text on Monday encouraging you to listen? How many got it Monday? Okay. Okay. What was I encouraging you? I was saying, hey, man, I listened to the power of singing, the importance of singing, man, and it just encouraged me as I heard it again. So listen to that again. You'll laugh, but you'll be encouraged. What's all that about? It's about getting our chonklas off, recognizing, hey, listen, we can't just come and hear a sermon once. And here's what I said in the email, if you haven't read it yet. I sent it to you Monday. Here's what I said. What'll happen when you listen to it again, here's what'll happen. You'll hear things that you never heard before. And you already heard it. But you'll hear things. The Holy Spirit will quicken you to other things. And then there'll be some things that you will hear, but you'll hear it a second time with greater intensity. Amen. And here's what I said in the email. I said, here's what happens when you will be willing to listen to the same sermon you heard Sunday again. Here's what will happen. You will open up yourself to allow the Holy Spirit to quicken these things into your spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And so what is that a part of? Here's what it's part of. It's part of us getting more serious in the things of God. That's when we come with our notepad and our pencil or our pen. Amen. So let that be a listen, that's not a chastisement if you don't have a pen and a notepad. It's an encouragement to all of us. Amen?
Amen.
And get serious and get focused. Because here's the reality. You'll remember more of what you write down. How many know it just like it pleased Pastor Bradford when I came in with a pen and a notepad. How many know, you know what, it pleases God. What are you saying? You're speaking to God. You're saying, God, I'm serious about the things of God. I'm serious about what you're going to tell me tonight. Amen. So, you know what, get used to doing that. And let that be part of how this is a, everybody say this is a training center. So, number one, write this down. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, what? Write this down. Amen. Very good. Okay. You get the point. I want you to write it down. Number one, three important lessons about the nature or character of our Heavenly Father. We can glean from this story some characters of God that I want us to gain, his nature that I want us to see. Number one, write this down. Number one, God is compassionate. Everybody say, God is compassionate. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. And when God went out, he saw a great multitude. What kind of multitude?
A great.
How many know that was a lot of people? And he was moved with compassion for them. And what did he do? And he healed their sick. What did he do?
Healed.
God healed their sick. Now listen, there's a lot of people. Matter of fact, we might do a series on healing soon. But there's a lot of people, a lot of discussion, a lot of talk about, you know what, the healing power of God. Okay. Please understand this, that God has provided healing through Jesus Christ. That the Bible says it's by his stripes we were healed. Wait a minute. I still need to get is healed. I'm not healed yet. How? And you're saying I'm were. Well, see, understand what God is trying to communicate. Understand that Jesus Christ's stripes already took place. That's why he's saying it in the past tense, because the provision for your healing already took place. So the way God sees it, you already are healed. That's why Peter, by the Holy Spirit, says, by his stripes, you were healed. Not you're going to be, you were healed. So that's why in communion, we take that bread and we lift it up and I say it by faith. Receive it by faith. Receive what? The healing that God's already provided for you. But here's what I want you to notice. This, how many know this is before the stripes that Jesus took on his back? How many know this is before? But how many know when you see Jesus, you see the character of God? How many know Jesus was God? How many know Jesus, one of the reasons why he was sent down here, is everybody still awake tonight? How many know one of the reasons he was sent down here was to show us the character of his heavenly Father? Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't do what I want to do. I do the will of my Father. So, what are we seeing here when the Bible says, and see, how many times have we read this story, come on, be honest, or heard this story and never even recognized that Jesus healed some of those people in the that 5,000 who were sick?
Come on.
Yeah. How many know I was setting you up? And see, you've been around, you caught it. Amen. No, 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 no. And we've got to get that out of our minds, out of our consciousness, out of our thinking. And why do we have that in our thinking? Because we've heard that so many times. You know what? And we just say, well, God heals some. Sometimes God, you know, God heals some. Sometimes he doesn't. Well, how you know? Well, you just never know what God's going to, you know. Well, you just never know what God's going to do. Well, of course you never know what God's going to do if you never read the Bible. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Oh, yeah, I know. Or if you listen to people who are part of the 10 spy club. Amen. Oh, yeah, we know God said that. But, and then start waxing eloquently why what he said isn't really what he meant. And we go, oh, amen, hallelujah, amen. No, not amen. Don't amen unbelief, amen. Don't amen something that's contradictory to what the Bible says. Don't amen that. And have the integrity to read your Bible every day that you would understand the difference, amen. Listen, here's what the Bible says. My children die from a lack of knowledge. There's people that Satan are coming and he's wiping them out. I mean, wiping them out. And you know what? And that why? How do you know that? Because John, we'll look at it in a minute. John says, John 10:10 says, Satan comes but for one thing, to steal, kill, and destroy. And people are dying, but they're not dying because God wants them dead. They're dying from a lack of knowledge. And that's why it's so important for you to come. You come Sunday and you come Wednesday. Amen. And I know you know that because you're here. Amen. But here's what you need to understand. And he moved. This is part of this story. This is what he did. And he moved with compassion on them and healed their sick. They're sick. Not some sick. They're sick. Amen. Not of some diseases, but there are others that they're too much, too complicated. No. There is no two, which is, I'm getting on my second point. But he heals them all. And I want you, and that's got to be our mentality. No. Stick with what the Bible says. It's let me tell you what, it takes some spiritual backbone to just say, man, that's what God said, that's what I'm going with. But I'll tell you what, heaven and earth pass away, but God's word is never going to pass away. There's nothing more sure than God's word. So you just stick to what the word says. You say, Father, thank you in the name of Jesus, what we taught you, the power of gratefulness. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you said by his stripes I were healed. So if I were, I am, and I thank you that I am. Not because of me, but because of you. So I depend on you. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to walk. I walk by faith, not by sight. And notice, God... What does God have? Why does he do this? What does it say? And he's moved with what?
Compassion
for them. Man, we gotta recognize. I love that word compassion because it's talking about this tenderness. Watch this. This tenderness in his heart. This tenderness in his emotion. Sometimes we just don't see God that way. We just think he's some kind of, you know what, I don't know. But can I tell you what? God is full of compassion. And so, you know what? He could just say, man, I'm tired. I'm gonna lay down. I'm gonna, hey, can I preach to somebody? Listen, if you are not sitting and serving, you know what? I challenge you. Start to sit and serve. Don't just come to the 9 o'clock service. Just don't come to the 11 o'clock service. Come to the 9 o'clock service and come to the 11 o'clock service. And sit a service and serve a service. And start to develop the character of God that should have compassion on people. How many ever come to this church and not even worry about, maybe you got an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old, a 12-year-old. You know, some of you come in tonight and you're not even concerned about your teenager.
Come on, amen.
You know that, you know what, Shayla and Joel and Angel and a bunch of the leaders are over there, and you know they're preaching the word of God. You know they're having awesome worship. You know they're going to be encouraged. You know they're going to be challenged. You know they're safe over there. How many of you have, though, you just know everything, watch it, all over. How many of you have children in our children's ministry tonight or youth, and you know everything's fine? Okay. Can I tell you why you know that? Because someone has compassion on you. Amen. Amen. See, they are ministering to you. No, Pastor, you're ministering to. No. I am ministering to you. We're ministering to you. Amen. How many know I could do this? How many know I could put like 8 balls over there, you know, go to Big Five, get 8 real bouncy balls over there, you know what, put it all in the, just throw them all in the North Sanctuary, you know, clear off all the chairs, throw all the kids over there, you, Junior, I just throw them all over there and say, hey, man, have fun. But how many know if that's what I did? How many know you wouldn't be over here chilling out, focused on what I'm saying? You'd be like, man, what in the world's going on? You probably wouldn't even be sitting here. You'd probably take 3 steps and then you'd think, oh my goodness, I can't leave my children. Is that right? See, we need to be compassionate. We need to understand. We need to be like God, our Father. Can I tell you what? God was compassionate to you. He was compassionate. This is how the character of God is. Why did Christ die? Why did Jesus Christ die? For you. That was set before him. And he saw it. Before Jesus Christ went to the cross. You know how many sons of God? God had? He had one son of God. Are you a child of God? How many children of God does he have now? How many know he's got a slew load? How many thank God you're part of that slew load? There's all kinds of people. And here's why. Because God had compassion towards you. How many remember a sin that I'm not looking for this, what the sin is, but how many remember a sin that you had that you struggled with, and you confessed and you said, God, I'll never do this again. Oh, it's getting pretty quiet now. You said, God, I'll never do this again, and you did it again. And then you said, no, God, really, I'm serious this time. I never do this again. And you did it again. And you did it again and 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 again. And Satan just beat you up. But God said, when you said, God, I'll never do it again, he said, all right, let's go. We got this. And you might have done it another 4 times. But God was always on your side. What are you feeling? What are you being part of? Here's what's going on. It's the compassion of God. He's compassionate for people. He understands. our weaknesses. God came down to this earth, and even though he didn't sin, he was tempted in every single way. Let me tell you something you cannot say about God. You cannot say, God doesn't understand what I'm going through, because that would not be true. Wow. Amen. Because God has experienced the struggle that you've experienced. And he has compassion on you. And he loves you. And he cares for you. And he cares about things, you know what, that are important to you. In this story, you know what he's going to do in this story? First, he heals everybody. Amen. And then he feeds everybody. Amen? Yeah. Well, why does he feed everybody? Well, you know, God's spiritual. He only cares about salvation. Well, you can't even say that. You don't even know what you're saying when you say that. You think you're saying all he cares about is the new birth, but you're really saying all God cares about is, because when you say salvation in the Greek is sozo, it means healing, wholeness, contentment, every aspect of your life. God cares about. Every aspect of your life. You know what God tells you to do? Mourn with those who are mourning. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Can I tell you why he tells you that? Because he's compassionate. Amen. You know, I learned this from Pastor Bradford. You know, sometimes pastors, and maybe you're not a pastor, but maybe you'll do this. You go to the hospital to pray for someone who's sick, and you feel like you got to have some sermon or some, you don't got to have no sermon. All you got to, you know what, go in there and just cry. If they're crying, just be compassionate to people, because that's what God was. You ever hear this? They don't really care about how much you know until they know about how much you care. I'm just saying. God, and that's who God is. There's nothing that you've experienced. There's no pain, no struggle in relationships, no pain in your body. There's nothing that you experience that God's not compassionate about it, and God doesn't care about it. Nothing. And we have to recognize God cares about those things. Number one, understand and get a grasp of God's compassion for you. And then you be compassionate to other people. Amen. Amen. Number one, God is compassionate. Number two, God is supernatural. He tells the guys, hey guys, you get them something to eat. Now, can I tell you why he's telling them, you get something to eat? Please, let's catch this picture. Everybody say, God is supernatural. Okay. And here's what we do. We're like, okay, God, like, you're supernatural, so you do it. He's like, no, guys, you figure it out. Understand this. God wants us to walk in the supernatural. One of the reasons why, you know what, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to this Power Series over and over and over and over and over again, and you need, because they're bite-sized pieces, they're so simple, but they're so powerful, and every single one of them will propel you into the supernatural. If you simply just ask, boom, you're going to be in the supernatural. If you simply start to have an expectation that things are going to change in your life. It'll propel you in the supernatural. If you'll simply start to thank God for what he's done in your life, you'll walk in the supernatural. If you'll simply start to sing his praises, you'll step into the supernatural. These are all simple things for you to walk in the supernatural, because God never... Jesus, who's our example, is on this earth walking daily in the supernatural. And that's what he wants us to walk in. He empowered us with the same. Here's what the Bible says. Okay, are you ready? And somebody in the Bible says, it's just like, unbelievable, that's so good. Here's what the Bible says. That the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives inside you. And he looks at these guys and he says, hey guys, you know what? Get them something to eat. And they act like we can act sometimes. And what they do is they revert back to the not the supernatural, but they revert back to the natural. And they say, "What, Jesus, what are you talking about? If we went into the city, it would be like 200 denarii to just give all of them just a little something to eat." Well, Jesus didn't intend for them to walk into the city and spend about two-thirds of a year's salary on these people to buy them lunch. You remember when Jesus goes up on the boat, when all the guys think they're going to die? You remember this? Man, Jesus, we're going to die. Don't you care? Yeah, they needed to hear point one. Did they not?
Yeah.
God is a God of compassion. Don't you care? Are you kidding me? Jesus came down from heaven, and you're going to say Jesus doesn't care. Oh, my goodness. Nobody cares like Jesus. I need to write a song like that. Nobody cares like Jesus. Yeah, you want me to start singing it now, don't you? No one cares like Jesus. No one cares like Jesus. But remember when that happened? And he goes up there and he says, peace be still. And those waters are still, the wind stops immediately. And here's the point. Then he looks at them and says, hey guys, where was your faith in this? You'd be like, what are you talking about? Jesus, we were going to die. Can I tell you what? Jesus wants you to step out in faith and start using the Holy Spirit that was given to you and walk in the supernatural. He doesn't want these guys to go in the town and spend. He wants them to figure it out and walk in the supernatural. Every single one of you. And think about this. The power of what? Simply asking. Man, just have a tenacity of boldness to go, yeah, but that couldn't happen. Yeah, but I don't have to figure out how it happened because I walk in the supernatural. All I have to do is ask. And now I'm partnering with God who is supernatural. God is supernatural. And you're his child. And you're his child. So you are to walk in the supernatural. Verse 19. Are you learning something tonight?
Oh, yeah.
And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and the two fish. How many know you ain't gonna? How many know I don't care how sharp your knife is. Amen. How many know I don't care how sharp your knife is. You are not gonna feed 5,000 just men plus women and children with five loaves and two fishes. Amen? Man. You know, imagine cutting it that thin. You know what? Oh, here's your bit. Oh, I'm sorry. I need a do you have magnifying glass with this too? I can't see it. No. They didn't have a little bit. They ate as much as they wanted. And after they got done, there was 12 baskets worth of stuff that they picked up. What's going on? Supernatural is what's going on, and that's the God that you serve. You serve a supernatural God. Stop thinking that you need to run your business naturally. Stop thinking that you need to run your marriage naturally. Stop thinking that you need to do anything naturally. I remember listening to an evangelist wife, and the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, you need to start reading the book of Acts every day. The whole book of Acts every day. She said, are you kidding me? I can't get all the work that she had. I think she had two kids, maybe three kids then, I forget. But she said, I can't even get, I'm exhausted by the end. I can't get my work done now. She says she started reading the book of Acts every single day. And she says, you know what? She was done by early afternoon, and she had time to relax, and she couldn't even explain it. Except to say that she was obedient to God, and she started to walk in the supernatural. See, listen. I know you. We can be here all night, and you can't explain to me how everybody got fed on 5 loaves and 2 fish. But I can explain it. It was super to the natural. It wasn't natural. It was superior to the natural. God had a way to multiply things, and what we have to understand is that is our DNA. That's who we are. I told you this before. You got a redheaded mama. And you got a red-headed daddy? And what kind of babies are they going to have? They're going to have red-headed babies. Amen? How many know they're going to have red-headed babies? You know what? Well, can I tell you what? You're a child of the Most High. And so now your DNA is, he's supernatural. Your DNA, now you can walk in that supernatural. Amen. Here's I don't get mad at me and start, whoa, no. Read your Bible. Here's what the Bible said, that mighty things were done by wondrous things were done by the hands. Oh yes, hallelujah. By the hands of God, hallelujah. Nope. By the hands of the apostles. They would lay sick people out. And just the shadow touching these people would heal them supernaturally. Amen. How does that happen? Supernaturally. But catch this. And put this in your purse and swing it. But listen to me, we've got to catch this. Because can I tell what God did? Can I tell what Jesus did? Jesus lifted that up and he prayed that God would bless it. What's he praying? God, feed all these people. What? Think about it. I should have taught this. This could have been my text in The Power of Expectation. Jesus tells the guys, sit them on down in groups of 50 and groups of 100. For what, God? Because I'm going to feed them all. See, here's what I'm saying. How are you going to walk in the supernatural? Here's how you're going to walk in the supernatural. You're going to take what you have and you're going to lift it up to God and you're going to say, God, bless it. And you go and give it to God. I'm telling you what. Guys, listen to me. I really love you. Tam and I really love you. But let me tell you what. For some of you, it has nothing to do with you think God is withholding something from you. He's withholding nothing from you. He's waiting for you to take what little you have. And you're too busy arguing that, no, it's too little. It's too little. Listen. Hold it up to God. Yeah. Give it to God. And let him bless it. And here's what will happen. When it comes
back to you, it won't come back to you as two fish and five loaves. The coming, understand this, what that young man gave to the Lord, Jesus blessed it, it came back to them, everybody had something to eat with 12 baskets over. What's going on? The same thing will happen to you. See, understand, Jesus is your example. What's he want you to do? He wants you to take what little you have, raise it up to God, believe the supernatural, and give it away.
Amen. Thank you. I can't. I won't have enough. You don't have enough already.
Give it away, man. Trust in God. Trust in God. Watch what he'll do. And finally, you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
And finally, understand, God is a God of abundance. What happens? 12 baskets overflow. Overflow. What are we looking as a church? I'm looking for overflow. I'm not looking for this place to be full. I'm looking for it to be overflow. Why? Pastor, think about it as a church. As a church, what the vision that Tamara and I have for this church is that we would get out of the smaller north sanctuary into a larger south sanctuary, that God would provide all the monies to be able to do all this. And how many know we stretched a dollar as long as we could stretch it? But how many know we weren't looking for the, you know what? Oh, let's get the cheaper chicken. How many know I didn't, you know what? We did everything we could, and we always do everything we can with as much excellence as we can possibly do it with. Amen? Why do we do it that way? Here's why. Because we understand that we serve a God of what? Abundance. See, we've got to get rid of our, you know what, our poverty mentality. We've got to get rid of that mentality. God is not a God of, God is a God of abundance. Can I tell you what abundance means? Abundance doesn't mean, I've told you this story, you know what, went to Hamburger Express. It's a hamburger place by my house. You know what? I didn't have any money. I grabbed a bunch of change. You know what? 486, 47, 488. Whew, here. Okay. That's not our God. He is not a God of barely enough. So what's going to happen? We're able to do all this. What's going to happen? There will be a day, and it's not going to be so far. Okay? It's not going to be 8 years away. And we'll walk out those two doors, and there will be this beautiful, I mean beautiful, outside foyer. I'm working on the design. We're working on the design right now. Why do I want the design? Because I'm going to show it to you, and you're going to see it, and you're going to say, whoa. And more important than you saying whoa is important that your kids will be able to come here, your family will be able to come here, and they'll be able to sit under the shade and enjoy, you know what? Listen, this is godly property. Somebody before you got here, you know what? Sweat and blood and sacrificed, you know what? To purchase this property and they said, this is holy ground. Sanctified to getting people saved, to getting people redeemed, to standing up and preaching the gospel. Listen, we weren't playing games when we had our grand opening and we prayed over this place. But let me tell you what, this land was sanctified to God a long time ago, even before we got here. Amen. And that ground out there is sanctified to God. And there is, listen, some of you come in and you're worried and you're upset and you you don't even know what happens. And all of a sudden you just feel the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And it guards your heart and your mind. And you're like, man, I'm not even worried about that no more. And you're like, I don't even know why I'm not worried about that. I know why, because this is holy ground. Amen. And that's holy ground out there. And you know what? And we're going to develop that. And more, and it's going to be important for you and your kids and your family, but it's going to be important for families that are driving by and they're going to trip out. They're going to look and go, man, trip out on that. That place looks nice. How many know a bunch of these people don't know how nice it is in here? Come on, you can say amen.
Amen.
How many know a bunch of these people don't? They don't know how nice it is in here. Amen. But they're going to know. Because they're going to see how nice it is out there. They're going to drive by and they're going to go, man, that's nicer than a bunch of the Hilton courtyards that we've seen. Amen. Amen. And should it not be nicer? Should the Hilton have nicer stuff than we got? Come on, say amen, somebody. Should they have nicer stuff than we got? No, they shouldn't. Amen. You look at the temple, the temple in Jerusalem, oh my God, you talk about a stunning. And let me tell you what, and who designed that temple? God was the one who told him how to build that temple. Well, yeah, but I think, but Pastor, you know what, I think we should take that money to feed the poor. We are feeding the poor.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
See, let me tell you what we're doing. We're teaching people how to fish.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. You can say amen anytime. We're teaching people. Can I tell you what? This stuff is important.
That's right.
Amen. And we give to different organizations that are literally feeding the poor. But let me tell you what, it is so important. One of the main focuses of our church is this. It's one of our DNAs. This is a training center. And let me tell you about Hope Community Church. This is a training center, not just for adults, but this is a training center for high schoolers and junior hires. And fifth graders and sixth graders and fourth graders and third graders. I'm telling you what, you don't want to miss Sunday because the little ones are going to minister to us in dance. And it's going to be awesome. I'm telling you what, it will be the bomb. They will minister to us. And how in the world is that coming across? Why is that happening? Here's why that's happening. Because at Hope, one of our DNAs is we are a training center and we are training at every single level. Amen. And we don't have to, and listen, we need to be, of course we need to be responsible. But let me tell you what, responsible doesn't mean that we don't have to do it right. I'd say responsible. How many know you can buy the cheap stuff and it costs you more money because then, you know what, in 4 months you got to buy new stuff anyway. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. What am I teaching? I'm teaching you excellence. That's what we have to have. And this needs to be taught in the church. That God is a God of abundance. You're going to get to heaven, and I'm telling you what, you're going to go, oh my goodness. Paul, you know, Roman numeral 3 was, Pastor was right, man. I mean, you will be so, and me too, we will be so blown away.
Yes, amen. Come on.
Well, you know what? Let's, to the best of our ability, supernaturally, let's have that here on this earth.
Amen.
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 Let's let that be a DNA in our church.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Did you learn something?
I said, did you learn something? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. We thank you, God, that you are compassionate to every single one of us. Father, I pray that someone, and they're going through something, and they just feel hopeless. No, God sees it. And supernaturally right now, Father, minister to those people. We thank you that you are supernatural, and you can minister to them at a supernatural level. And Father, we thank you that you are a God of more than enough. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, 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 amen.